Let's open with reading together from God's Word, first of all from Psalm 46. Psalm 46, and then reading also from Isaiah 41, verse 10, which will also be the focus of the meditation. So Psalm 46. To the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. So far from Psalm 46, and then turning very briefly to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Very famous words in the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah 41, verse 10. The word of the Lord, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Let's seek his face for his blessing as we meditate briefly together tonight. Lord, we come before you, the God who says, be still and know that I am God. You are to be exalted among the nations. You are to be exalted in the earth. And we know, Lord, that in all things and at all times, you are gaining glory for yourself. We thank you that we may have your word to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Your word is a good word. It is a true word. It is a rich word. It is a sure word. And we pray that tonight you will bless our meditation, that you will unite us together under the ministry of your word, that your word may speak to us individually and as congregation and whomever else may be joining in, and that together we may be edified, and together, O Lord, we may honor and glorify you. We pray that your Holy Spirit will help us and bless us in this time that we share together. And we pray it not because we deserve it, but for the sake of the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, tonight we are a church in need. Of course, that is always true. We are always, always in need. But tonight and in these days and times, we feel it, don't we? How fragile everything is, how uncertain, and how easy it is to give in to anxiety and to fear. But to all his people, even tonight, to every believer, the Lord God still speaks. His whole word is a revelation to us, including the verse that is before us now from Isaiah 41. We are obviously not the first people to be in need. In many times and in many places, the church of the Lord has come into situations of anxiety and fear, situations of desperation and trouble. In the time of this text in Isaiah 41, the prophet had been forecasting the judgment of the Lord, judgment in the form of exile for the people of the Lord. In chapter 39, we hear the prophet tell King Hezekiah that someday the Babylonians will come and they will spoil the house of the king and the city and the nation. And Isaiah in verse 6 of that chapter, listen to what the prophet says. When the Babylonians come and after they have finished rampaging and looting and destroying, then Isaiah says, nothing will be left. Nothing will be left. That certainly was a message to provoke to fear and to terror. What a need was coming into the lives of the Jews. And maybe many of them were indifferent. Maybe many of them carried on still in their sin and rebellion. There was certainly reason for God to come in His judgment on His people. But God's true people, and they were around then as they are still today, God's true people must have trembled and feared when they heard Isaiah's message. Nothing will be left. But into that very fear, into that very need, the Lord God comes, and through Isaiah, He continues to speak. And that's obviously this text here in verse 10 of Isaiah 41. And it's a word of rich comfort, isn't it? It's a word to encourage the people then. It's a word that highlights the kindness and thoughtfulness of the Lord for them. What does He say to them? He says, fear not, and be not dismayed. Do not look around terror-struck. Don't be anxious. In other words, don't fret. Don't think everything is over and finished. That was God's word to His people then. Do you know that He's saying it to you and me tonight? Now, in our time, same message, fear not. What a good word from our loving Father through the Savior Son and by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Fear not. Do not be dismayed. What kind comfort we may hear from the living God tonight. And He gives it for two reasons, or He highlights two reasons why we do not need to fear and do not need to be dismayed. Two reasons. The first one is this. He is here. What does He say? He says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. In other words, when you are in need, when your life feels maybe like it is falling apart, when as people you may be afraid for the future, one thing you can still know, one thing you can be very sure about, and that is the presence, the real near presence of the Lord. I am with you. Even if you do not feel it, even if you do not sense it. And that can be. In the lives of God's people, it's not always so clear. But faith says, on the basis of the word and promise of God, faith says still, He is here. Despite what I maybe feel, never mind what I maybe don't sense, He is here, He is with us. Is that not what He says? Even to this church, here in Isaiah 41, this church that's in need, this church that has heard of coming judgment, that is facing future exile, even devastation like never before, nothing shall be left. We don't know if we are facing that as a nation. We don't really know maybe what we are facing. We hope, we pray, we trust that this current crisis will eventually pass. Meanwhile, we have all sorts of questions, don't we? Also, as people of God, what will happen? How will we fare? Who can predict the details of the next days and weeks? Our needs, too, individually, as families, as congregation, our needs are very real. But just think of it. If the Lord said to his people then, in the face of coming judgment and exile and devastation and ruin, if the Lord said it to his people then, may we not also be sure of it today, in this time, and in our need? He's here. I am with you. So says the living God, and he says it so possessively, doesn't he? I am your God. That's, of course, covenant language. That's language that takes us back to the covenant promise already as it was made to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. A promise that has been repeated throughout the centuries. The great covenant of grace promise when the Lord God said to his people and says it still now and through the generations, I will be God to you. Yes, I will be your God. That's what the Israelites knew. That's what true Israelites cherished. They had a promise from the Lord that he would never abandon them. He would never leave them to their enemies. He would never utterly forsake them. And just think how this became then the confidence, how it was built into the Old Testament people of God. And at various times also they could express it, like we read in Psalm 46. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And both times after that, the psalm says, Selah. Likely think about that. Meditate on that. God is with us. And of course, when we get to the New Testament and we meet the Lord Jesus Christ and we behold him at work and we hear him speak, then it's the same message, isn't it? What church is not comforted by the words of Matthew 28, verse 20? After Jesus commissions the church and he then encourages her and he says so richly, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And then there are the words of Hebrews 13, verse 5. The Lord himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he means what he says. He doesn't go out for a break. He doesn't go out for a moment. He doesn't need to have a rest. He never takes a vacation. There is no time at which he checks out from this promise. Paul can say in the midst of great distress, when even every other human being had left him, Paul can say in 2 Timothy, but the Lord stood with me and the Lord strengthened me, because he is true to his promise. Maybe you say, maybe some of the children say as they're listening tonight, how is it possible that he's with us? I don't see him. How do we know he's with us? But let's remember what the Bible teaches and what we confess also in our Belgic confession, that God is omnipresent, that he is everywhere. And especially think of the Lord Jesus in his ascension, how, as we confess in our catechism, that while he is no longer with us in the flesh, that's true, yet in terms of his Godhead, his majesty, his grace and spirit, he is at no time absent from us. And faith takes him at his word. And so we may say today, we may tell ourselves, as we look to this living God in Christ and by the Spirit, well, his word is to us that he's here. It must be so. And we will believe it to be true. Our God will not leave us. Our God will not forsake us, not in this time, not in any time. And this then is why we don't need to fear. This is why we don't need to be afraid or dismayed. Our mighty Savior God, all good, all wise, all powerful, He is with us. Every Christian can know that. The whole Church of Jesus Christ can rest in that. God is with us. But not only is the point that He's here, so God is comforting His people with that truth. He's with us. Fear not, therefore. But then something else in the text, He will help. So He is here and He will help. That too is why fear not. Let me read the verse again. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Are those not precious words? I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Let's realize that the Lord here is not really saying three different things. Instead, He is saying one thing three times and in three different ways. And that one thing is simply this, that whatever your need, whatever your trouble, whatever your situation, you can be sure of His help in the midst of it. He will help you. He will strengthen you. He will uphold you. And oh, how can Isaiah say it so you understand it? He will simply repeat it and reinforce it so that we get it. God will be our help, our refuge, our strength. Now, what kind of help is this? How about all kinds of help? Every needed help. Like what about the help of divine strength, enabling you still to believe the Lord and to trust His word in times of crisis and testing and uncertainty? God helps with that. Or what about the help of the Holy Spirit in working in you to be faithful? To be faithful in spite of temptations and trouble? God helps with that. Think of the help of inner peace and joy that fills you even when life is hard, especially when life is hard, when there's maybe that lump in your throat or that sick feeling in your stomach. To be able to be at rest still in the Lord, to hold fast to the Lord and to have peace even in the Lord. Only God can help with that. And He will. What about the help? The help of wisdom to make right choices, to be wise and prudent in every decision. Or courage, maybe, to make difficult decisions. Or think, too, of the many times His help comes in tangible and wonderful ways. Maybe provisions we didn't expect. Or assistance we couldn't have imagined. Or deliverance that is so truly from above. How many times God has done so in the past. And may He not do so again today. Or else it will be help to endure, help to suffer, help to bear up, help to be patient, help to persevere. God's help will lead all His people through all their days. Yes, even when we must cross someday the river of death, it will be all the help we ever need. And the Lord is saying, it's all in Him. He will do it. He will help us. The last line of the text says that He will uphold us with His righteous right hand. You can think almost of Him carrying you. He will carry you. And then in verse 13, the Lord says that He will hold your hand. I, the Lord God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Maybe you have helped someone across an icy parking lot in the winter or on a hike over a stream bed, over some rocks or something like that. And when you do it, maybe you hold out your hand and you say, here, let me help you, or hold my arm, let me steady you. And isn't that what the Lord God is saying to His people today, to His church also here in Vineland and His church throughout the world? Listen, in your time of need, when the world is in crisis, or maybe when your health is failing, or when loved ones die, or when your business is threatened, or your job is terminated, or when other foes or dangers or threats materialize in your life and you don't know what to do or how to make it. Listen, the Lord is saying, let me take your hand. Let me help you. Let me hold you up. Let me carry you through. Isn't that what he is saying? And it's what he does. Yes, listen to the Apostle Paul when he writes to the Philippians some very well-known words. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Isn't that the same point? You could say that's the New Testament version of Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All your need I will supply according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. At this point, it's very appropriate to mention the Savior, isn't it? Like Paul does. And we have to speak of him, Christ Jesus, our Lord. Ultimately, it is in view of him and all that he is, all that he has done, all that he is doing even now. It is in view of him that the promise of our text is so true and the comfort of our text is so real. Fear not, God says to us, in and through his Son. Now, we all know this, but we need to keep hearing it. The Lord God has sent his Son into this world precisely for the reason that he, Jesus Christ, might go for a time without the presence of his Father and without the help of his Father. If you think about that, what else was Jesus' experience on the cross but the realization that the Father was not there, that his Father had left him? God says to you and me, I'm here and I will help. But on the cross, all Jesus knew was, my Father's not here. My Father's not helping. It's that very suffering that we remember in these days of Lent. And it's that judgment that ought to fall on us. Let's not forget that. We don't deserve God to be with us or to help us. Let these troubling times we live in make us ever mindful of that. It needs to. The truth is, we deserve no word of kindness. We deserve no voice of heaven to say to us, fear not. In view of our sin and our sinfulness in Adam and every day, we have every reason to fear. And God has every right to walk away and to leave us in our fear and even to condemn us to hell. But instead, he sent his Son, and his Son took on the sin of all his people, and his Son suffered the judgment, the condemnation, and the torment even of hell itself. That was the experience of the Savior, so that it might be for all who trust in him, God never leaves us. God forever and ever helps us. And so it is for the sake of Christ that God says what he says, and that we can be sure he means it. He has sealed it in the blood of Jesus. And these are true words, therefore, and rich words and sure words. Fear not, God says, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What a word to us, a word to embrace by faith. A word to receive on our knees in repentance and trusting in the triune God. It is a word that is true for all who look to the Lord. It is God's word, a word of comfort, and a word to compel us to praise him tonight and to proclaim him to all who will hear us. Fear not. Do not be dismayed. Let's pray together and seek for God's mercy and blessing. O Lord, our God, our sovereign Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We bow before you tonight, and we give thanks and praise to you as the true and living God. We confess your greatness. We confess your majesty. We confess, O Lord, that you are the King, that all things are in your hands. We have had a few days now to absorb or to begin to absorb something of what has been happening all around us. How in a short space of time, not just our land, our country, but all over the world, we have been plunged into great uncertainty, confusion, distress, and there has been panic, and there has been chaos. And there are people sick, and people are dying. And we are reminded that we live in a broken world, a world that bears the effects of the curse, a world that is groaning for the day of redemption. And while the world may not see it, may not understand it, we also know that this world continues to be in your mighty, almighty hands. While the leaders of this world may not know what to do, while the peoples of this world may be thrown into confusion, you continue to reign in perfect calmness, with perfect sovereignty, and fulfilling all the counsel of your holy will. Help us, O Lord, yes, help us to be still and know that you are God and that nothing of your plan has been put out of order and that you are building your church and that you are glorifying your name. Thank you, too, that we can turn to your word and as Church of Jesus Christ, as individual believers with our families, and also in this way tonight we can hear a word of comfort, a word of kindness, a word of direction. Fear not. The world is fearing. The church need not fear. The world is dismayed. The church has no reason to be dismayed. And we thank you, Lord, for the way you fill that out, for the way you explain that to us. We pray that you will apply it to us all this evening, how you are with your church. You have made that promise. You have made that commitment. You will never forsake your people. Through everything, you will be present, an ever-present help in time of trouble. And Lord, we think of the Lord Jesus Christ when he went to heaven and promised again that he would always be with us in the fulfillment also of the Great Commission and also in the midst of whatever distresses may come, assuring us that he will never forsake. We don't always see you, Lord Jesus. We can't see you in the flesh, but we may believe on the basis of your word. You are here. You are in our homes and families. You are in every one of your people's hearts through your Holy Spirit. And you will preserve your church. You will help her. You will strengthen her. And you will uphold her with your right, with your faithful, with your righteous right hand. Help us, O Lord, to be able to lay hold of all of this by faith. Help that this word be what directs us, not what the media tells us, though we need to know what the media is saying, but that we take our point of departure from the unfailing word of God. We pray, Lord, in our time of need that you will help us. And also we bring before you particular needs. We bring before you those among us who may struggle particularly with anxiety and fear. We pray, Lord, that you will use your word to calm our hearts and to fill us with peace. We pray, Lord, for those among us whose businesses are suffering or whose work is uncertain or even in jeopardy. We pray for those among us who are very anxious for the well-being of their families. We pray, Lord, for those who are anxious for their health, for the well-being of their loved ones, for the health of their elderly family members, or for the health of those who have underlying medical conditions. We commend, O Lord, all these things to you. And we pray that you will be with us in each of these needs, and that you will help us and strengthen us and uphold us amidst them all. We pray, Lord, for Hannah Sinke, and continue to commend her to you with her particular need. We pray also for Diane Eichlenbaum as she is failing and growing weaker and weaker. Lord, that you will sustain her and be with her even when her time is near, perhaps, to cross the river of death. Lord, we give thanks that she can testify also of your help, your strength, and your holding her hand. We pray, Lord, for others in our congregation and beyond, in the multitude of our needs and our anxieties. O Lord, meet us each one, and in the way also of our faith, let us see the fulfillment of your promises. We confess to you our dependence on you. We pray, Lord, that you will grant to us deliverance. We pray that you will remember those who lead nations, governments, those who assist as researchers and as scientists. We pray that you will help those who are trying to find a way to relieve the sickness, to prepare a vaccination or some other cure. We pray, Lord, that you will also bless health teams who are serving the sick. We pray, Lord, for wisdom for all of us as we seek to love our neighbor and do our part to help and serve each other. We pray, Lord, that you will give us grace, especially also as Christian church, here in this community and wherever your church is found, to be a light in the darkness, to be peace in the confusion, and to point people, whether living or dying, to point them to the way, the truth, and the life. We pray, Lord, that you will use this time and this trial for spiritual good for us and for many, that we may also hear what you are seeking to say to us in the midst of it, all the messages that we need to learn, also the sins we need to turn from. We confess that we have many sins. Our nation has many sins. The world has many sins. And we deserve to be put altogether away. But Lord, will you show mercy? Will you show kindness and grace? And will you yet deliver us? And grant there, Lord, to be healing and help. Above all, we give thanks that the Lord Jesus has come, that you have sent him and that he suffered and died as the sin bearer. And we think of him again this evening, how he went without your presence and how he went without your help. And we say, like all believers throughout the ages, he for me, he for us, he endured that. He went into that period of great trial and suffering so that we might live all our days here, not fearing, not being dismayed, and then enter into a life where there will never be a reason to fear. How we thank you for Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that above all you will turn our eyes to him and make us all, young and old, to trust in him. Bless us as families. Remember us as individuals. We pray for those, Lord, who are in quarantine, who are limited very much to their homes, maybe feeling fine, but limited nonetheless. Be with them. Help, too, with children and young people. Help with uncertainty about schooling. Help with all the questions. Help us to live day by day, relying upon your wisdom and rejoicing in your promises. Will you hear us? And will you bless us, not because we deserve it, but for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Well, good night, everyone, and let us keep looking up to the Lord and looking out also for each other, and not forgetting also to reach out to those who may have special needs among us in our church family and in our community at large. The Lord be with you.